Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for about 30 years here in Southwest Florida. And in the past year, we've added to our family of broadcasters. Kingdom 91.5 FM is our partner here in Southwest Florida. WAEC, Love 860 in Atlanta, on air and online, is our recent partner here in this past year. And then WTMR, Radio 800 AM, reaching the New Jersey and Philadelphia areas. We're so grateful for their partnerships so that we can come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and gaze into His eyes and just let Him speak to us heart to heart. And so if you're with us today, we're continuing our journey that we began just last week, a little mini series here during the Christmas season on the advent of Christ. And you know, there are a lot of different advent traditions regarding the candles and the sequence, and you know, who's, is it the shepherd's candle, the angel's candle, the prophet's candle, the magi's candle? And you know what, we're just picking one of those and going through four of them. We talked about the angel's candle of the way last time. Today we're going to talk about the shepherd's candle of joy as we celebrate the advent or coming to Christ. And by the way, your church family may have been practicing some of these traditions, you know, with the evergreen wreaths, you know, which symbolizes always green, the always active, always living love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in a circle, which means it keeps going forever and ever. But in that wreath, there are these four candles, sometimes five, one in the middle, and all in different colors to represent, as I mentioned earlier, either the angels or the shepherds or the magi or the prophets or whatever. So, if you're lighting those candles on Sunday, here's one sequence you can follow. And so today, let's just talk about the shepherd's candle of joy. And we'll be going to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. And as we get started, as is our custom, we're going to go before the Lord to ask Him to speak. But just a quick reminder that on my website, markpg.org, we have all of these radio messages archived. We also have all kinds of helpful materials to help you hear the Lord, some media like some 3-minute devotionals on the portraits of God. We have handouts of outlines of the messages and insights and all. So check it out, markpg.org. And again, the radio archives, if you want to pass this on to others and want to hear it again yourselves. So, as is our custom, let's go before the Lord now and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm so grateful for the privilege You give us just to come together to sit at Your feet and gaze in Your eyes and let You speak to us heart to heart. And I'm so excited about this topic today, about the shepherd's candle of joy, Lord, because, oh, Lord, Your joy is constantly available to us, but most of us seldom constantly receive it. So we want to learn from the shepherds today, Lord, how to receive Your joy. Thank You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to be going through the classic story of how the angels appeared to the shepherds that were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And I love how the story unfolds, and I love how it ends with the shepherds going back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them, a spirit of joy and all. But you know what? Joy doesn't come to our hearts automatically. It's constantly available from God. In fact, the key theme I really want us to zero in on today is this: God's joy is constantly available, but it is seldom constantly received by most of us. See, we don't automatically receive it. There are things that will block your joy or rob your joy. But the shepherds in this passage show us four ways to receive his joy, four ways to make sure that God's joy, which is right there, will not be blocked, will not be robbed, so that you can experience true joy to the world, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at the passage and let's unpack these things. And if you're a note taker, there'll be four keys about receiving the joy of the Lord. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night." So let me stop there. Okay, so it's nighttime. It's a nice, peaceful night on these rolling hills. The shepherds were doing what they were always doing, just kind of hanging and being right there with their sheep, serenely just enjoying the stars in the night. All right, got it? Now verse 9. "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened." Well, I guess so. Let me stop there. Let's think about this. If you're a shepherd, one of these guys, and you're out there and you're enjoying a nice, peaceful, beautiful moonlit night, and all of a sudden, here's this glorious light and the presence of an angel that was all over the place. Of course they were going to be afraid. All right, but hang on. Let's keep going. Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" So let me just stop right there, because this is clearly given us one of the first keys to receiving God's joy. Number one, by overcoming fear. My friend, fear will block or rob your joy from you in this life. If you let a spirit of fear just dominate you, it will block God's joy that's right there for you. It'll rob you for joy that you've already had because you come fogged in with a spirit of fear. And we have fear of all kinds of things. In fact, I hope you are taking notes, because this particular message, I'm going to give you lots of examples of how joy is blocked or robbed from you. So for example, here in point number one, the fear of failure. By overcoming the fear of failure, you can receive way more joy than you're experiencing right now, my friend. There's the fear of failure. There's the fear of rejection. Are you very self-conscious? Do you wonder how you're coming across when you walk into a room, or how you're dressed, or what you're saying, or how you're performing at work? Do you fear rejection? Do you not want to get out there and spread your wings and try to fly and chase your dreams because you fear failure, you fear rejection? What about a fear of responsibility? Oh man, I'll never forget many Christmases ago when our three sons were very small, we came to that time in their lives when it was time to give them a dog. So for Christmas, we got two little Yorkies that were actually given to us by some friends who were needing to pass them along. And they were good friends of ours, and they wanted them to have a good home. So we were able to have these cute little Yorkies under the tree with a little bow. But our middle son didn't rejoice. He got all worried. He began to tear up a little bit. And he said, "Can I be excused?" And he went back to his room. And so we said, "Son, wait, what's wrong?" And he said, I don't know if I can handle the responsibility of taking care of dogs." Oh, I love that. I mean, he was being honest. He was thinking ahead. He was thinking about the responsibility, and the fear of responsibility can rob you of your joy. Good news, by the way, within a few days, he was all excited like everybody else, but he had to have time to process the absorption of the responsibility to take care of these dogs. And we can let a fear of responsibility from having children, or having two children, or three, or four, or taking on new promotional positions in the workplace, or to take on ministries in our local church. We just fear the responsibility, and again, probably together with the fear of failure and rejection, the joy of that is being blocked. It's being robbed. There's the fear of hurt. You maybe were in a love relationship or fiance and excited about marriage, and then you broke up and you got so hurt, you've shut down your heart, you've closed it, you want to protect it so that you don't get hurt again. Fear of hurt will block or rob your joy. There's the fear of opportunity. Opportunity's knocking. Are you going to take it? Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I've talked about it and prayed about it, but now it's here. And oh, man, now I got to take the step. And the fear of opportunity and refusing to take that step, to risk it, can rob you of your joy, can block the joy God intends for you. Now, here's some unusual fears. The fear of praise, the fear of love. You say, how can we fear that? Well, some people just can't take a compliment. It makes them feel very, very self-conscious. They don't trust it for whatever reason. And so they don't like to hear it. And so because of the fear of praise or love, that there might be strings attached or it might not last, that fear is blocking them or robbing them of the joy that God has for them right there. Or what about the fear of the future? Especially during this COVID era, we're all frightened of the future. What does it hold? We got a new variant that's come up. We had the Delta variant, now it's the Omicron. And we don't know how the stats are going to go up or down, and all of the disagreement and stuff. We fear the future, the financial uncertainty and all. That'll rob you of your joy, my friend. It'll block your joy. Or what about the fear of the unfamiliar? We're certainly on unfamiliar ground in this pandemic era. And there's certainly a lot of changes needing to be made. When you move to a new place, when you change jobs, when you go to things and put yourself in positions that's very unfamiliar to you, the fear of that can block or rob you of your joy. But not the shepherds. At first, they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Now look, I'm bringing you good news. I'm bringing you good news. And so they hang in there and they listen. We see that by the rest of the passage. In fact, let's pick it up in verse 12. The angel goes on to say, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, how did the shepherds respond to that? First, it was one angel with the glory of the Lord showing around them. And then there's a multitude of angels and they're praising God and all this. And this light was very bright. And I mean, if they hadn't already gotten used to Gabriel, who came to them, then that probably would have blown them away to have a multitude of angels. However, look at verse 15. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Well, that tells me something. If they had the wherewithal, once those angels left, they began to consult with one another and work through what they just saw. Did you see what I saw? Did you just hear what I just heard? Dudes, you know, and then they acted on what they said. Well, that tells me they got over their initial fear with the one angel, and they were not overwhelmed by the multitude of angels Because, as I've mentioned, overcoming fear will help you receive the joy of the Lord that is constantly available. And the angel said, I bring you good news of a great joy. And because they were overcoming their fear, they were able to receive the good news of the great joy that a Savior had been born to them, and that He is here, and that He's in Bethlehem, and you can go and see Him. Which brings me to number two. The shepherds received their joy, number one, by overcoming fear, but number two, by consulting one another. By consulting one another. I love how it says they began saying to one another, hey, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing. Listen, isolation will block or rob your joy, my friends. When you isolate yourself, you're not fellowshipping with God's people. You do not cultivate close relationships or intimate relationships, and you isolate yourself and just kind of stay in your own world, it will block or rob your joy. But these guys, these shepherds, they consulted with one another. They didn't stay in isolation. They didn't run off into the hills going, ah, no, I'm going nuts. I'm going crazy. I'm seeing things. I'm hearing things. No, they consulted with one another. And because of that, cumulatively, in consultation with one another, they were able to receive this great news of a great joy. Do you consult with others in all that you do, my friends? Or are you stuck in a state of isolation, withdrawal, private worlds, becoming a loner, hiding out in your man cave, or ladies becoming ice maidens, just holding it in, and I'm not going to talk to anybody, I'm protecting myself, with closed hearts, creating brick walls, metaphorically speaking, to keep people out. You see, so often, if we haven't overcome those fears that we talked about in number one, then we're going to stop consulting with one another and get isolated and withdrawn and become loners and iced out and closed hearts and brick walls. And that will steal your joy. That will block your joy like you cannot imagine. We were built to be in fellowship and communion with one another. We were never designed to be loners, to be isolated, to be islands. And my friend, if the enemy has gotten you into a lifestyle that you're pretty much withdrawn and enjoy your private worlds of video games or reading books or hobbies or movies or whatever it is, or other addictions, shopaholics and workaholics, and of course the standard addictions of drugs, sex, and alcohol. If you are hiding out in those places, you're getting your joys and your thrills isolated and doing those kinds of things, you're missing out on the joy, the constant joy available in Jesus Christ as we overcome our fear and as we consult with one another. But there's a third thing that I noticed about what the shepherds did that helped them receive the joy of the Lord that is constantly available. Let's pick it up there again in verse 15, because we got the first part where the shepherds began saying to one another, well, what did they say? Well, they said, well, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. In verse 16, and they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. So here's the third thing. My friend, if you want to receive God's constant joy, you do it by overcoming fear, number one. You do it by consulting one another. That's number two. But number three is by searching straight away. They searched straight away. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then. Let us go now. And they came in haste, and they found their way to Mary, Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. My friend, here's your principle. I mentioned in number one that fear will block your rob and joy. And number two, isolation will block your will block and rob your joy. Here, procrastination will block or rob your joy? Okay, all of us are about busted on this one. I'll be honest. There's some things I procrastinate, put it off. I get frustrated. I get brooding over it. It's just hanging out there. I know I got to get to it. Guess what? My joy's being robbed. It's being blocked. A lot of different reasons for procrastination, by the way. Just sheer apathy. Man, I'm just emotionally drained. I'm up to here with this and that and the other. I'm just too tired. I don't care anymore. Let somebody else take care of it. Apathy is a root of some procrastination. Laziness. Some people are just plagued with laziness. They're not industrious at all. They don't have vision. They're not self-motivated. That's going to rob you of your joy. Indecisiveness. Maybe you want to do stuff, but you can't decide which option to choose, how to go about it, who to partner up with, who to seek out for counsel and advice. And it's an indecisiveness that causes you to procrastinate, which blocks and robs your joy. By the way, a simple illustration. I was a tennis teaching professional for many, many years, and I still play with some other former pros in town just to keep fit and all and enjoy the sport. But here's the thing. In a tennis match among good players, if you're indecisive about what shot you want to hit, you're not going to make it. You got to have that confidence and decisiveness to go for particular shots, which you still will miss from time to time, but not nearly as frequently as when you are indecisive because your mind's preoccupied or you have a fear of missing the shot or whatever. Indecisiveness. Procrastination will block or rob your joy. Sometimes we procrastinate because we're distracted. We're distracted to other things that are not as important. Wastes of time. And instead of going about that which God has called us to do. Misdirection. You know, we're starting out for something, but then we get misdirected and go another direction. Busyness in other areas of our life causes us to procrastinate. Unbelief. Not sure this is going to work. Causes us to procrastinate. Bitterness. We get so consumed with that and just so fogged in by a spirit of bitterness, we don't have the industry to get on out there and do stuff because we're too consumed by our bitterness and we procrastinate. But not these guys. They said, let us go and see this thing. Let us go straight to Bethlehem. And they came in haste. By searching straight away, my friend, you can access the constantly available joy of the Lord. By overcoming fear, by consulting one another, by searching straight away, and finally, by glorifying and praising God. Let's pick it up in verse 16. And they did come in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I just love that phrase, by the way. Some of us are process thinkers, you know, they love to ponder things before they move out. Now, that's kind of a little bit of a balance or a caveat to going right away like the shepherds did, except for one thing. We know that they pondered it. How do we know? Because they discussed it among each other. So sometimes pondering can go quickly and be settled by consulting with one another. Other times you want to take time to just savor it for a while like she did. But then verse 20 tells us that the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen just as had been told them. And I can just see those guys just going back out into the starry night going, yeah, can't believe what we just saw. Are you kidding me? And the joy they had in the Lord. And they expressed it. And the more you express your joy in the Lord, the more you glorify and praise God in your personal life and with the body of Christ, oh, my friend, the more you'll receive his joy. But if you don't, if you got a spirit of ungratefulness, I'm telling you right now, not only will fear block your rob your joy, not only will isolation block and rob your joy, not only will procrastination block and rob your joy, but ungratefulness will block and rob your joy Instead, be very expressive in your gratefulness to the Lord for all he does. Glorify him, praise him, and oh, my friend, that is how you'll receive his joy, like the shepherds were receiving his joy that day. Now, why is it that we struggle with ungratefulness? Self-centeredness, an entitlement mentality. We should be taken care of by the church and the government. And if they're not, we get mad or bitter. There's another one. We're spoiled, we're childish, we're unexpressive in expressing gratefulness to others for God using them to bless us. We're too proud to express it. Sometimes we're jealous or resentful with those that have means to be able to do it, and we wish we had the means that they had. All of those things feed into a spirit of ungratefulness, and that ungratefulness will block or rob your joy from the Lord, my friends. Oh, cultivate a spirit of gratefulness, expressive gratefulness. Share with others, write those thank you notes, thank them face to face. They didn't have to do that, but when people and when God does things to bless you, express it out loud in a spirit of gratefulness, and you will be stunned at how much of his joy you will be able to receive. Oh, that's my prayer for you. As you think about the shepherd's candle of joy, they were receiving it by overcoming fear, consulting one another, searching straight away, and glorifying and praising God. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this journey. I just love going through the scriptures with my brothers and sisters, and thank you for this word on how to receive your joy to the world because the Lord is come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and be sure to check out markpg.org. Till next time, enjoy the joy of the Lord.